First Peter, the series, or the chapter that we have begun to read, marks the start of a new series! Oh, we're all so excited! Yes! I'm super excited. I really am. I'm pumped up about this. I think it's going to be really fun. And for this series, we're going to move all the way through 1 Peter. And we'll continue this series on both Sundays and Wednesdays. So usually, if it's in the school year, we do one series on Sunday that's separate from the Wednesday series. But in this case, it's going to be all together. So you'll have to keep coming on Sundays and Wednesdays to stay caught up, to stay up to date. But if you miss, it's okay. I will do the best I can to catch you up at the beginning of each teaching. So like right now, I'd be catching you up instead of telling you about what the series is like. You feel what I'm saying? Oh, man. But that's what I'm going to do. And we'll also have the teachings posted on thrivejh.com if you miss one and you're really like that concerned about having missed one. But here's what we're going to be doing. The title of this series is The Outsiders, going through 1 Peter. Yes, The Outsiders. And I'll explain why we're calling this The Outsiders later on. So you're going to have to stay tuned. Cliffhanger. Don't check out. But here's why I'm so excited. Because 1 Peter is a book that I personally don't know super well. I don't know it like I haven't gotten to spend a lot of time studying it. I really haven't spent any time studying it. I've read it many times in the past because it's short, but I've never studied it in depth and like looked at the complete context that it's in for myself. So in this series, I'm going to be learning along with you guys. And don't worry, I'm going to study beforehand so I can teach. But I'm really going to be learning all this stuff right along with you guys, seeing what 1 Peter's all about, what it means to us, what is Outsiders. I would have never titled this Outsiders until I started studying for this series, and we're going to see why. And I think it's going to be super cool. So I'm really excited. You guys excited?
Sure.
Pumped up? Ready to roll?
Sure.
Oh yeah, we're so stoked. Okay, so without further ado, let's dive into 1 Peter. So, the first thing you need to know, this is a letter, or you could say epistle, if you want to be fancy schmancy. Epistle, it's an epistle. With a T toward the end. Epistle, there's a T in there.
Epistle.
And verse 1 and verse 2 identify who wrote the letter, and then who received the letter, who it was written to and who wrote it. And we see first that it was written by Peter, or Petras. That's the Greek. You want to try it? Petras. Petras. It like changes everything. Oh, Petras. It's like you're mad every time you say that. But Peter wrote this letter to, this is who he wrote it to, the pilgrims of dispersion. Or I love what the King James Version says. It says, to the strangers who are scattered. The strangers who are scattered. So the title of this teaching is Dear Stranger. Because that's who this is written to. It's written to strangers. And what I want to do tonight is introduce you to the people that are involved with this letter. So I want to introduce you to the person who's writing it, or who wrote it, and the person who received it, the person or the people that it was written to. Because when we understand this, it prepares us to understand everything else that is in the letter. If we don't know who it is, why they wrote it, to whom they wrote it, and how they received it, then literally the next verse, verse 3, we're going to have a hard time understanding what exactly Peter is saying in that case. So, if you're taking notes, this is how we're going to break the teaching down tonight. First, Peter, and then second, the strangers. Kind of sounds like a scary movie. Like, ugh, the strangers, who are they? Will we ever know? So if you're taking notes, you can jot that down. We're going to start looking at Peter, or Petras, and the strangers. The strangers. Okay, cool. So, starting things off with Peter. This is Peter. A man that you probably all know super well, really well. He also goes by the name Simon, Simon Peter, and Cephas. He's got a lot of nicknames. Anybody else? Lots of nicknames? Abs? That's... That's pretty cool. Y'all got a lot of nicknames? My sisters used to call me It growing up. They'd be like, Mom, it's hungry! Because my initials are IT. Yeah. Really, really rude. And Peter was formerly a fisherman until Jesus called him to be a disciple, to follow Jesus with his life. Peter was a fisherman. He fished. I hate fishing. I don't know nothing about that. But that's what he did. I think he liked it, and I'll show you why later on. But I did not like fishing. And he was one of Jesus' closest disciples during the ministry that Jesus had on earth. And it's those 3 years spent following Jesus that qualifies Peter to do what he's done. So if you're like kind of that scholarly person, you're like, hey, why should we even listen to this letter? What gave Peter the authority? How is he qualified? Well, here you have it. Apart from his time with Jesus, Peter had no formal education. In Acts, he's described as an uneducated common man. So if you're ever mad at someone, just look them in the eyes and say, you're an uneducated common man. I feel like that's really mean, but yeah, so be careful how you use that. But apart from Jesus, that's all that Peter was, an uneducated common man. But that time spent with Jesus face to face, 3.5 years almost, that is so important. And that changes the qualification that a person has. And Peter is, of course, as all of you probably know, he's famous for doing what on the water? Yes, walking on the water. Yeah, ding, 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 Jeopardy. Somebody wins a new car. Walking on the water. That's what Peter's famous for. A lot of us know that he's walked on the water. But what I want to focus on is what happened in Peter's life toward the end of Jesus' ministry on planet Earth. Before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied him 3 times. We see this in John chapter 18. Verse 17 says, the woman asked Peter, a young woman, you're not one of that man's disciples, are you? And Peter said, no, I'm not one of those disciples. And then in verse 25, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire, warming himself, they asked him again, you're not one of his disciples, are you? And he said, no way, you're crazy. No, you're crazy. He denied it. And then verse 26 says, but one of the household slaves of the high priest, this is kind of funny, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off just earlier that day, is like, didn't I see you? Oh man, I can't quite remember what it is, but I think you cut off my cousin's ear. He doesn't say that. He says, didn't I see you out in the Olive Garden with Jesus? And again, Peter denied it. And immediately after he denied the 3rd time, the rooster crowed and he denied, saying, no, I'm not. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Could you imagine the guilt that is running through Peter's mind and through his heart in that moment, when earlier that day he looked Jesus in the eye and said, no, not me. No way. I would never, ever deny you. Promised it to Jesus' face. And so now we fast forward just a few days to when Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And do you know where Peter is in this moment? Peter has gone back to his old job. He's fishing. I think there's so much that we need to take from that, because he goes back to his old job. He spent 3 years with Jesus Christ, like being discipled by him, mentored by him, one of his closest 3 disciples. And then when he dies, he says, well, I guess I'll go catch some fish. That's crazy. He just went back to what he knew, to what he was most comfortable with. And so while he's fishing, Jesus is risen from the dead. He comes to the beach where Peter is fishing and tells him, hey, cast your net on the other side. And they cast it on the other side. They catch 153 fish. And Peter realizes, whoa, this is Jesus. This is Jesus risen from the dead. He jumps out of the boat. He doesn't even like, what would they do, row it or sail it? I don't know. Row it? I bet they'd sail it, right? I don't know. So he jumps out of the boat, doesn't even row slash sail it, and swims to the shore to meet Jesus. And listen to this conversation that they have on the beach after they had breakfast. John 21, just a few chapters after Peter denied Jesus, verse 15 says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the others?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Then feed my lambs.' And then Jesus repeated the question a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' Then Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' Verse 17, he asked him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' And then Jesus told him a third time, 'Then feed my sheep.'" Just as Peter denied Jesus three times just a few days earlier, Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me? And if you do, feed my sheep." And feed my sheep isn't like Jesus saying, "I got a whole lot of lambs over there and someone needs to feed them when I ascend." No, he's saying, encourage and bring hope to the people that are followers of me, to the people that are Christians. Encourage them. Build them up on their most holy faith. Encourage those who believe Jesus. So 1 Peter is Peter's greatest fulfillment of his last conversation with Jesus Christ. Because this is what Peter does. He writes to all of the Christians scattered abroad, and he says, "Here's some hope. Here is some encouragement." He feeds God's sheep, just as Jesus told him to do, three times. And so this is like, oh, it blows my mind. I think it's so cool. Oh, it's like gold, liquid gold. I don't know. You guys aren't as excited. Okay, cool beans, fine. Moving on. Yeah, no, it's too late. So that brings us to our second point, because we kind of see who Peter wrote this to. Peter wrote this to the strangers, dear strangers. Peter says that this letter is written to, in verse 1, if you have your Bible open, read along with me, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Or as the King James Version puts it, and I love it, to the strangers who are scattered throughout. To the strangers who are scattered throughout. Now, at first, you can read that and say, oh no, is Peter one of those creeps who writes letters to strangers? And yes, he is. But no, he's not a creep. Don't assume that Peter's a creep because he writes letters to strangers. It's not literal strangers when he says that. He means something different. He's not saying people that he didn't know. He means something beyond that. Here's what he means. A stranger is a metaphorical term in the New Testament to mean one whose home is in heaven, and thus they are a foreigner anywhere on planet Earth. They're a foreigner. They're in a land that is not their own. They're an alien passing through, not like alien as in E.T. phone home, but an alien as in like a foreigner in a foreign land passing through. It's not their home. And so when Peter says to the strangers scattered abroad, he's saying to the Christians who are not at home, even in the land that they were born in, this is to you. And who are these people? Peter tells us in verse 2, he says in a really fancy, in a whole lot of like 3 points of what a Christian is, he says, these strangers are Christians scattered throughout the world. They're not at home. They're just simply passing through. They're passing through this world on their way to heaven. They're outsiders. And that is why we have titled this series, The Outsiders, because that's who you and I, if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, we are an outsider here on earth. And being an outsider carries with it so much. We're going to see all throughout this that being an outsider, being someone whose home is not on planet Earth, but whose home is in heaven, and they're not there, and so there's this uneasiness everywhere they go because the Spirit of God is active in their lives, but their flesh is also battling against that, it carries with it so much. It carries with it trials. And we're going to see trials that Christians face. And how to get through that, how to function when trials and tribulation come our way and we don't know what to do or to think. It carries with it persecution. Persecution outwardly. People thinking you're weird because you're a Christian. Or people thinking you're stupid because you're a Christian. People thinking that you just can't understand or can't grasp things, or that you're just the way your parents are because that's how you were raised because you're a Christian. People being violent towards you. People writing things or reviewing things on Facebook or social media about Christians in a negative way. Persecution all over. Violent persecution. And then there's also inward persecution of what are people going to think if I don't do that? Or if I take a step of faith and tell somebody that I'm a Christian, what are they going to think? I might be embarrassed. They might laugh at me. They might, my friends might start to seclude me because I'm an outsider now. Because I'm not who they thought I was. Because this is not my home. My home is in heaven with Jesus. Peter wrote this letter to us, to the outsiders who are scattered throughout the world. All throughout the world. He wrote this to show us hope and to encourage us. To show us what we need to take our focus off of and what we need to put our focus on. Just as Jesus commanded him 3 times, Peter wrote this letter to feed God's sheep. And it's so important for us to know this letter, to know it well. Peter is going to say that as a Christian, life is hard, which is something that very early on we're going to have to get out of the way. Yes, being a Christian isn't a make your life awesome, easy, and quick scheme. Being a Christian makes life sometimes a little more difficult. It makes you feel like a stranger in a land that you were born and raised in. You could feel like a stranger in your home because maybe you're the only one who believes that, or you're your only sibling who's really putting this stuff to practice in your house. And so Peter is going to show us step by step how to face the temptation and then also the discouragement that comes from the devil. Yes, he's going to speak very bluntly about the devil and tell us how to view that, how to handle that, what to focus on when temptation or discouragement comes from the devil or comes from demons. And it's a very real thing. He's going to tell us that trials are real. That you are going to go through things in life just as others do who aren't saved. You are going to as well. And they're going to be testing you. They are going to be trials to see how you come through it. And then to see how you can have success within those things. And Peter is going to show us how to do it. So I'm excited. I really am excited about this series. Also because that's a groovy slide. It's just like, whoa. But yeah, come Sunday, because we're starting verse 3, and Peter does not beat around the bush. He, like, dives straight into it. Like, let's just throw the fluff out of the way and get down to the nitty-gritty, and Peter does. So, yeah, sound good? Y'all cool with that? Okay, sweet. Let me pray for us, and then we're gonna play a game. Yes. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that you have given us Peter, a person who is not perfect, a person who made mistakes and had to learn from those and fumble all throughout his life, even while you were with him face to face. And now as he looks back in his life, hindsight 2020, we are being encouraged by this guy. He's writing to us, the outsiders, the Christians all throughout the world, feeding us, giving us the hope and the encouragement that we need from you. Teach us through this letter, we pray. Help us to apply it to our lives the exact way you want us to. And help us to grow deeper in you through it. And become more unified as a group as we do so. We pray that you would bless this time of playing games and stuff, that you'd be the center of it all, and that we would grow deeper in our love for one another and our love for you through it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. Okay, y'all.